Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Samache. We begin on the very last line or two of Samach Dalet Amud Beis at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that another one of the obligations that the husband has to go and support his wife is Nosein Lo Chatzi Kav Kitnis. If he's having a third party support his wife, for whatever the reason, he's out of town, he's not able to do so. So these are the minimum requirements, we said, for a poor person. A rich person or a woman of a higher socioeconomic status, husband of higher socioeconomic status, has to be provided with more. These are the minimum standards for an Anisha B'Yisrael, and included in this is that he has to give her a Chatzi Kav. A Kav is a certain measure, so half of the Kav worth of Kitnis. Kitnis is usually translated as beans. In addition, he also had to give her a certain amount of oil, and he also had to give her a certain amount of dried figs. Now the Gemara says, note, it doesn't mention anything about wine. Vilu yayin loktani. It doesn't mention that the husband has to go and provide his wife with wine. So what do we see from here? Messiah Leila Rabbi Elazar. This is in accord with what Rabbi Elazar says. What did Rabbi Elazar say? Then Rabbi Elazar, and we turn to Samachay Ben Aleph, that it is not proper to give women wine. Ein poskin yenos leisha. We don't go and give women wine. As the top Rashi says, shayayin margilo letaivus tashmish. It leads to her wanting to have tashmish. And obviously, if her husband's not around, that's improper. But even if her husband is around, we'll see there are potential concerns with this. I'm going to tell Vim Tomar, it seems to say from the following pasuk from Hosea that women do get wine. It says in the pasuk, Vim Tomar, elcha acharei me'ahavai, I will go after my lovers. Nos de lachmi, the ones who give me bread, umeimai, and they give me water. U tzamri, they give me tzemer, wool. U pishti, linen. Shamni, oil. Veshikuyoi, so shikuyoi means giving me drinks. So it appears, if you already said water in the pasuk, so this must be talking about yayin. So the Gemara says, no. Dvar misho isha mishto kekes alehen. The word shikuyoi doesn't mean drinks. It means something that a woman wants. So it means something that she would be mishto kekes alehen, such as umayinu. What is this? Takshit. This is giving her various types of adornments. So she wants to have various types of makeup and other things, perfumes. So that's what it's referring to. So in any event, we see from here, from Rabbi Elazar's statement, that we don't give wine to a woman. However, we'll see that there are exceptions to this rule. And the Gemara starts and says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda, who came from Ish Kfar Niviraya, a certain kfar known as Niviraya. Others say it was Amila Ish Kfar Nefor Chayil. It was from a different village. It was the kfar of Nefor Chayil. In any event, he says, Minayin Shein Poskin Yenos Leisha. What's the pasuk, the source, that we don't provide wine for a woman? That's not part of the obligations the husband has for his wife. Shemar. He brings it down from the famous pasuk with Chana, when she davened by Eli in the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, Vatokum Chana, Acharei Ochlo Bishilo, V'Acharei Shoso. It says, Chana got up after she ate Ochlo Bishilo, so she ate in Shilo, but then it changes over to the masculine, it says, V'Acharei Shoso, and after he drank, meaning her husband, Elkana, after he drank wine. So it didn't say that she drank wine. Shoso, it says, V'lo Shosas, and not that she drank the wine. So we bring a raya from here that it changed over from the feminine to the masculine to say that we don't give women wine. Where it says, wait a second, if that's your rationale, so in the beginning, when it says the feminine form, does that mean El Miata? When it says that she ate Ochla, it implies Velo Ochal Hochanami, that Elkona didn't eat with her, that only she ate and only he drank. He didn't eat. So, obviously, he ate. So, just like he ate, even though it says she ate, so too. When it says that he drank, so too she drank as well. So, one says, no, that's incorrect. Anan midishani kro bidibure karmina. From the fact that it changed around, from it was talking about her eating, and then it specifically changes to saying him drinking. So, from the fact that it wrote that she is eating, it doesn't imply that her husband didn't eat with her. But then, if it wanted to say that she drank, it should have said that she drank. From the fact that it then switched around and made it masculine, shoso, he drank, that definitely implies that she didn't drink. Michte, because let's analyze this. It says, bigavo ka'osik v'osik. We were talking about her. We said that she was eating. So therefore, it should have said that she was drinking too, if she in fact was drinking wine. So, my timer, what is the reasoning that it changed it around? Shani, oh, shmami no, shoso v'lo shosas. It must be teaching us this drasha that she didn't drink wine, and that it's somewhat improper for a woman to drink wine, and the husband drank the wine and not her. More questions. It says, Meisvei. It says, Regila, Nostila. But we have a braisa that says if the woman is used to drinking wine, she's regila, she has wine on a regular basis, as Rashi says, kivon de eino chidush lo kvar, the doshabo, the eino meziach libo, since she's used to it, so she's going to, so to say, tread on it, and it's not something that's going to make her into a different person, that she wants to have relations. So if a woman is used to wine, it's not going to have the impact on her. So the braisa seems to go against what Rabbi Elazar said. So the Gemara says, no, regila shiny. A woman who is regila is different. Because the situation is, the Omer Rabbi Chinina Bar Kahana Omer Shmuel, if a woman is regila, nostun lo kosech, if a woman is accustomed to having wine, so then we do pay and assign the husband to go and support her with one cup of wine, mistama per meal. She ain't a regila, but if she's not used to having wine, then we give her, should have said nothing. And it says, no shnei koses. We have her two cups of wine, which of course the Gemara says that's incredulous. It says, my kama, adarabba, the exact opposite. What in the world are you saying? If she's accustomed, we give her one cup. And if she's not accustomed, we give her two cups? That's crazy. So the Gemara says that obviously that's not what it meant. So Amar Abai Hachi Kama. Abai says, this is how you have to understand this statement. If she was regila bifne bala shnei kosos, if she was accustomed to drinking two cups of wine when she was with her husband, so now when she's not with her husband, shelo bifne bala nosen lo kosecha, then we give her one cup of wine. That shouldn't change her around. That shouldn't be making her wanting to have tashmish. That shouldn't give her taivas tashmish, because she's used to having two cups of wine, and now we're only giving her one cup of wine. However, ain't a regila bifnei balo ela kosecha, but if she was only accustomed to having one cup of wine when she was with her husband, so then we don't give her anything right now. Shelo bifnei balo, if her husband's not there, ain't no sin law called ikur, then we don't give her anything, and that is what the statement of Rabbi Chinina Bar Kahana in the name of Shmuel really was teaching us. Bibaisem, another teretz over here between Rabbi Elazar seeming to go against the braisa. Rabbi Elazar the Amori, he can't go against the braisa, so we explain as follows. If she was regila, if the wife is accustomed to drinking a certain amount of wine, so then we do give her wine. No sin law, litzike kidera. Then we give her wine for what's called litzike kidera. Rashi says, lahatim tavshil, to go and add a little flavor to whatever she's cooking. So in the stomach, this is talking about cooking wine. So we do give her some cooking wine. And that's what the braisa is telling us. The Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, maise bekaloso shel nakdima ben gurim. A maise shahayi, Rabbi Yavo, says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, with the kala of Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Nakdimon Ben Gurion was a fantastically rich person. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that Kabbasavu, who we just had, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and Tzitzis Akeses were three great individuals who were able to go and support the entire city for the 21 years that they would thought they would be in a siege against the Romans. And then the Bar Yonim came along and burnt down all their stuff, so they would force them to fight. And we know that didn't turn out so well. That was the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So there was this Maisa with the daughter-in-law, with the Kaloso, Maisa be Kaloso, Shel Nakdimon Ben Gurion, with his daughter-in-law, Nebuch, his son died, and the daughter-in-law went to the Beis Din and asked for support. And they supported her. Shepasku lo chachamim, they agreed and arranged for her to be supported from the estate of her husband, in the way that such a rich person would support his wife, and they gave her sosayim yayin, two saws worth of wine. Now that's a lot of wine, two saws worth of wine, letzike kidera, every Shabbos, every Shabbos. For each week, they gave her two saw of wine to go and use for cooking from every Shabbos to next to every Shabbos. In other words, every week she would get two saw of wine. Now, there's two ways to understand the next piece of Gemara. One is that this was a large amount of wine, and Amra Lahan, and she said to them, Kaf tivsuku livnosechem. Yes, this is very nice of you, you're very generous, and I thank you, and that your daughters should also be zoche to be judged in such a favorable way, and to be given nice support if they should need it. And the Gemara says that's the simple way to understand this, that this was a very positive statement on her behalf, thanking them. And Tana, however, it says in the Braisa, Shomeres Yavim Haisa, that this woman was actually a Shomeres Yavim. Her husband had passed away, but they didn't have any children. The husband didn't have any children, and therefore she was waiting to be taken in Yibam. And this was the award that she was asking for until her brother-in-law took her in Yibam. Below Anu Acharei Amen. And therefore, the rabbis didn't answer Amen when she said this very nice thing to them, that so you should be Tifsiku Livnosechem, your daughter should also have the same thing. And the Mefarshim explained, you can see this in the Chidushi Agados, he says that's why they didn't answer Amen over here, because this was a Yavim situation. And if they'd answered Amen, it would mean that their daughters would, so to say, there should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, that their daughters should become Shomeres Yavamos and have to go and fall to their brothers, though, because their husband never passed away young, and the husband passed away without having children. So that's why they didn't answer Amen. As opposed to in tomorrow's Shia, the Gemara there is going to tell us that in a similar situation where her husband, now the way the Chidush HaGadol understands it is her husband didn't pass away, he hadn't yet passed away, and he'd gone off on some sort of a trip, and he was still alive, and she went to the basin for support. There they gave her 400 zehuvim, a huge amount of money for besamim, for various types of makeup and perfumes, and there the rabbis, when they gave it to her, which was a very generous amount, so she said, also over there, Yashikai, thank you, your daughter should have the same thing. And there they did answer a maid, and the Chidush HaGadol points out that in that situation, that's a good thing, that the daughter should be supported in a very magnanimous way as well. So therefore, they answered the man over there. But here, they didn't answer the man because it also implied that the daughter's Rahman al-Salam had to be a Shomer HaShiavim. That's one way of learning this, that this was a positive statement that you said. Other way of learning is that a Sosayim Yayin is not so much for the daughter-in-law of Nachdimon Ben-Gurion. He was called Nachdimon Ben-Gurion because of a famous Maisa that the son stopped in his honor. Gemara tells us in Sukkah that he filled up a whole bunch of wells for Klai Yisrael to go and be supported when they were all irregular by borrowing the water from the wells from a Roman leader, and he promised to pay him back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace that it started to rain on the last day that it was due, and it looked like the sun went down, but the Romans said, okay, I see your God's very great, but you pay me back too late, and you have to go fill it up instead of with water. You have to fill it up with diamonds and jewels and all sorts of precious gold. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace that the sun came out again, and therefore it was clear that he'd been paid back in time. That's when Nachdimon Ben-Gurion, that he made the sun come out. It pierced through the sky. Okay, in any event, such a rich man should give much more than Sosayim Shoyayin. And therefore she said, you're stingy, and you're only giving me two sosayim. Your daughter should also get only two sosayim. Therefore, they were not happy with this insult, and that's why they didn't answer on me. Okay. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Tana, we're learning the following brisa. Kos echod yofel isha. A single cup of wine is considered appropriate for a woman. However, shnayim, to have a second cup, nivulhu, because it is going to lead her to inappropriate behavior. And certainly three is worse. Shlosha tovas bepeh. If she has three cups of wine, she's going to ask her husband bepeh verbally for tashmish, which is an inappropriate lack of tznius, stick away for a husband and wife to relate to each other. Certainly she can intimate to her husband that she would like to have relations, but it's inappropriate for her to verbally go and directly say, I want to have relations with you. So shlosha, if she would have three cups of wine, it would lead to that. And if she has, rachmon al-salam, four cups of wine, it's going to lead to her being totally inappropriate. Arba, afilu chamar tovas bashuk. Even if she has four cups of wine, even a donkey she'll have relations with. Eino makpedes, and she won't care. In other words, she'll be drunk, and she'll do things that are totally inappropriate. Amar Rava, Rava says, lo shana wela shein ba'al ima. That which we said, that it's inappropriate for her to have a second cup of wine because it's a nivul hula. So Rava says that's not a problem if her husband's with her. It's only a problem if her husband's not with her. Abu Balima, if her husband's with her, so then less lon ba, because if she becomes a little bit amorous, so she'll be there with her husband and they can and have relations. So therefore, it's not a concern. Okay. Gemara says, now let's go back. We just wrote down the reasoning. One of the reasonings was that Chana didn't drink was because it's inappropriate for a woman to drink. That was one of our sources. But her husband was with her. So what would have been wrong if she had drunk? So Gemara says they were different there because achsanoi shiny. When you're a guest, when you're traveling on the road, so it's inappropriate to have relations with your husband because the sheets will become stained. And again, it's not in the privacy of your house. And therefore, it could lead to a lack of tznius. So therefore, when you're a guest on the road, again, sometimes you can. It depends on the circumstances. But if you're typically a guest in a place where you're not bringing your own sheets and the sheets will become stained and it's obviously going to be a lack of tznius, so then an achsanoi shouldn't have relations. And therefore, Chana was with her husband Elkanah on the road, and therefore it was inappropriate for her to have wine and to have relations. How do we know that you shouldn't have tasha shemitah? We learned that from Chana, Shenemar. Vayashkimu baboker, after they left their hotel, they got up early in the morning. They went back and returned to the house in Ramos. So Horamosa. Only then did Chana and Elkanah have relations, and Hashem remembered them, and she was given the child that she was promised. Eli had given her that nevuah. So you see, only now, Hashta, only when they returned to the house in, did they have relations, but Meikara, when they were the guests at the hotel, lo, it was inappropriate for them to have relations. Now the Gemara tells us that Choma, we have it spelled with an aleph. Some of the Mefarshim say it should be spelled with a hey. In any event, that was the name of a woman who was the widow of Abai. Choma devisu the Abai. She was the widow of Abai after Abai passed away. So Asoy lekamei the Rava. She went to Rava to ask for support from the estate. So Amar Lei. So she said to Rava, Pesok li mizone. Please assign for me food from the estate of Abai. So Pasakla, of course, he assigned it. She was entitled to it, and he assigned it to her. Pesok li chama. Then she said, can I also have wine? So Amar Lei. He said, Yodana bebe nachmani. I know about my friend Nachmani, that was Abai. Abai was a orphan, and he was taken in. Some say it was his uncle, others say it was just the famous Rabbi Bar Nachmani who took him in. And therefore, he called him, his name was Nachman, but Rabbi Bar Nachmani, the son of Nachman, didn't want to call this adopted child by the name of his father. He thought it was inappropriate, so therefore he called him Abai, meaning my father. That's one understanding. Others say that this is a mnemonic, the word Abaye, because Nebuch, Abaye, as we mentioned many times, his father died shortly after conception, his mother died in childbirth, so this is a pasuk in Hosea. Asher, that's the Aleph, Bechor, that's the Beis, and then the Yud Yud is Yerucham Yosom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go take mercy, have pity on those Yosomim. So therefore, that's why he got the name Abaye, to allude to this pasuk that he was a Yosom. In any event, so Rava would call Abai Nachmani. So Amar Allah, so he told Abai's widow, he told her, I know for a fact by Abai the Lo Havishosi Chama, that he didn't drink wine, and therefore you're not entitled to get wine. So she disagreed, and she told him, that's simply not true. Amar Lei, so Choma, the widow of Abai, goes and tells Rava, Chaye Demar, I swear, so to say, by your life, so Loshen of Shvu, so to say, that's not true. The high mashkile bishufroze ki hai. I would go and give him to drink from a some sort of a container. Rashi brings down that there's a foreign word over here. This is a gvim aruchim, a long-stemmed glasses that had a foreign word to them. If you look in the Lazi Rashi, this is some sort of a coast that was made out of a glass that was very long and was very narrow. Be somewhat like a long-stemmed glass. And I would go and give him wine to drink out of such glasses, and she showed him how long those glasses were. And as she showed him that, so when she showed him how big the glass was, so her sleeve rolled up a little bit, and her arm was revealed, and off on the whole of Edina, and her arm shone. You find the Navi by Abigail, that her leg shone. And we find this also by others, that they had a certain shine to them. Rabbi Yochanan had a certain shine to them. They had such inner beauty that it shined off them. So the widow, Choma, was a very great woman, and her arm, when it became uncovered, it shone. It all found the whole Rebbe Vedina, and it's put a whole light into the Beis Din, and as a result, Rava became a little bit aroused, and quickly came Rava Olubei. So he quickly went home to his wife, and Tovel Labasu Chista, and he had relations with his wife. His wife was the daughter of Chista, Labasu Chista. So, in other words, he was somewhat enamored by the showing of the arm of Choma, and therefore he went home to his wife to have relations with her. So Amalei Basu Chista. So his wife recognized something was unusual over here, and she said, what happened today in the courthouse that you came home now and you're having relations with me? So Amalei, so Rava told his wife, Chista's daughter, he told her, Choma, devisu da Abaye, Choma, the widow of Abaye, came to the court today to ask for mizonos and to ask for wine. So this upset Rava's wife very, very much. And she went down to the Beis Din. So Nafka Abasro, she went out after looking for Choma, and when she found her, Machsala Bikulfe Deshida, she gave her a zetz with the, Rashi says, the Kulfe Deshida is Beminol Shel Argas, with the lock on a certain type of a chest. In other words, she was very, very unhappy that she had revealed herself, albeit unintentionally, that she had shown off her arm in the base medicine, said this is totally inappropriate. And Ad Avkala Mikule Mechoza, and she basically hit her and made her run away and made her leave Mechuzah. That's the city where Rava was the Rav, in Mechuzah. Furthermore, Amr Law, Rava's wife, told Abaye's widow, Kotlas Lech Tlosa, you killed three husbands already. Now you're going to look to kill more? V'yasas L'miktal Achrina, you want to go get another husband? That's why you're showing off your arm. You're looking to entice somebody else to marry you, and you're a Katlanis. You've been married already three times, and you're
are going to, unfortunately, not be allowed to go marry somebody else. That's why the Ben Yehuda says, that's why specifically she hit her with a lock of a chest. So to show her that, no, you have to be locked up. You're not allowed to go get married again. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Samach Dalid, Omid Beis tells us that she was the daughter, Choma was the daughter of a great Talmud Chacham. She was the daughter of Isi, Bereder of Yitzhak, Bereder of Yehuda. And in fact, she went and married Rochva of Pumpadisa, and he passed away. Then she married Rav Yitzhak, Bereder Rabba of Bar Bar Chana, and he passed away. And Abaya Paskin, like the opinion that says you're only a Katlonis after you have three husbands that passed away, and therefore Abaya then married her. Certainly, though, Choma was being told by Rava's wife that a fourth person you're certainly not allowed to go and marry. Another Maish saw you, the Vitzu, the Rav Yosef, the Rava, the wife of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, Nebuch, lost her husband, and also the Kamedir of Nehemiah, the Rav Yosef, to go get her allotment, to have the Din Kapaskin, what her allotment should be from the estate. So Amulei, so she told the Beis Din, Pasok li mizoni, give me the mizonis that I'm entitled to from my husband's estate. So Pasakla, so they of course gave it to her. Then she asked, Pasok li charma, I also need wine. And Pasakla, they gave her, because in fact they said, Amulei, they said to her, Yadana Bahu, we know that the Bnei Mechuzah, the Shasu Charma, that the people in Mechuzah are used to drinking wine, and therefore the wives as well would drink wine, and therefore you're entitled to the wine. Similarly, another Maisa, the Visu de Rav Yosef, Rei de Rav, Minashya Midvio, likewise, Nebuch, the wife of Rav Yosef, who was son of Rav Minashya from Deville, he passed away, and his wife went to go get mazonos from the Beis Din. Also, Kamei de Rav Yosef, she went to Rav Yosef's Beis Din, and Armalei, and she said to him, Pasokli mazoni, give me the food that I'm entitled to from the estate, and Pasakla. So he paskened it that she should get a certain amount. She then said, Pasokli chaima, give me wine, and Pasakla. Again, they were used to having wine, and therefore he gave her wine. Then she said, Pasokli shiroi, also go and assign for me from the estate that I should have nice silk garments to wear. So Armalei, so the Beis Din Rav Yosef said to her, shiroi lama, why do you need such silk comments? So she responded and she said, that I need this to impress you and your friends and the friends of your friends. In other words, I need to go impress people like you. That was the stall that I was accustomed to living in. And if I'm going to go get married again, I need to have nice clothing. So therefore, she was saying that she was entitled to get such nice clothing. More continues and quotes the Mishnah, Vinosila, Mita, Umapats, Umachatzeles, Vahule. She was entitled to get certain types of bedding. So Gemara says, what do you need all these types of bedding for? If you have a mita, which Rashi explains was, they would have the a piece of leather, a nice piece of leather that would be put up there as like the mattress that would be attached to all four sides of the bed. And this would normally be a nice, good mattress. So what do they need? The mapats, which is a softer mat, and machatzelis, which is a harder mat, lonely the yavla. Why does she need all three of them? Someone says, I'm a papa, simple. They need to go and give her these types of soft mats in places where they didn't have the leather spread out over the bed, and they just had ropes. And those ropes would be very, very uncomfortable, and they would age a person. The Mavagir law, Rashi says, it made her like into a bulgaris. It would age her. Mitzarah law would cause her pain. Maskinen also, and would make her look older. That's the lashon of Mavagiris. So therefore, in those places where they gave her a bed, the mita, they didn't need to give her the mapats and the machatzelis. But in other places where they didn't give her the mita, so they had to give her the mapats and the machatzelis. Tana Rabbanu, we'll learn further in the Brisa, say, Nosin law, Karabikeses, the Tanakama, this Brisa says that we don't have to go give her pillows and covers. Mishum Rabbi Nosin, however, Amru Rabbi Nosin disagreed, and he said, Nosin law, Karabikeses, you have to go give her pillows and mattress covers. So the Gemara asks, Hechidam, what exactly is this machlokis? If you're telling me that her family sleeps on such karvikes, says, so then my time at the Tanakama, why would the Tanakama say that the husband doesn't have to supply it to her? Of course he would. And if you tell me, and if it's not the custom of her family to sleep on such karvikes, so my time at the Rinosan that says she should get it. Now, it obviously can't be talking about where it was the custom of his family to sleep on karvikes, because as we've already pointed out multiple times, she would be ole with him. So therefore, it obviously wasn't the custom of his family either to sleep on a karabakesis. So again, the question is, if it's neither of their customs, so why would Rabbi Nosson say she should be entitled to it? And if it was either one of their customs, so why wouldn't she be entitled to it according to the Tanakama?
So Gemara says, we're dealing here, lo tzricha, the case is, kigon de orche di day. It was only his personal custom, not his family's custom, to go and sleep on a karbikesis. V'lav orcha di da. And it certainly wasn't her or her family's custom. So therefore, she would not be entitled to it when she was alone by herself. However, the Tanakama Savar, Amar lo ki azilna shakilna lahu, when I go to your house, I will bring you karvakesis. Then she's entitled to have it while she is with him. If he has it, then she's entitled to have it. However, when I leave, I'm going to take it away. So therefore, I don't have to supply it with you. I will bring it when I come to you. B'chi asina, and if I'm with you, my sina lahu ba'adai, I will have for you with me as well. So therefore, the Tanakhama says that there is no obligation for him to supply her with one at all times. It's only when he is with her. Now, Rabbi Nosson Savar, Rabbi Nosson says, no. Omrele, she's going to say, if you don't give me my own karbikesis, zimnim de misrami bin ashmoshus, one time you're going to come to me on Friday afternoon, and it's going to be Erev Shabbos, and you're not going to be able to carry, it's already the Bein HaShmoshos, and you're not going to bring me the car and the kesis. V'lo motzis ma'isulu, because you can't carry on Shabbos, v'shachlis lula didi, u'magnis li alara, and you're going to take my car of the kesis, which I bought out of my own money, and either you're going to take that, or you're going to take my machat and my machat zelis, and I'll sleep on the floor. So therefore, Rabbi Nosson's opinion was, he should supply it with her own car of the kesis, so this way, when he brings his own, or even if he doesn't bring his own, he'll probably keep an extra set there by her, because he has to support her, so he knows that he has to give her, so he'll make sure that he has one there as well for himself. Again, we have a little difficulty probably understanding this. It's unimaginable to us, first of all, that the husband and wife wouldn't be staying together almost all the time. In those days, because of either Tumah V'Tahara issues, the wife would sleep in a separate house or in a separate room. And often it seems that there'd be more business trips in those days than there probably are today. In any event, it would also seem unimaginable to us that the husband would sleep on a mattress and he would let his wife sleep on the floor. But nevertheless, in those times, this seems to have been a concern, and that's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson. The Gemara says, "V'nosi in law keeper." We quote the Mishnah where it says that he also has to give her a tichel. He has to go and give her some sort of a kerchief for her head, and he also has to buy her azar lemosnav. He has to buy her a belt, and he also has to give her clothing that's worth 50 zuz. And he gives it to her in the summer. He has to give her appropriate summer clothing, and then in the winter she can has to have appropriate winter clothing. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amalei Rapabli Abayi." Rapabli says, "Abayi." We turn to Samachay Amudays. Haytano shliach artiloi v'rami misanoi. So we said also in the Mishnah that he has to go and bring her shoes, and he seems to give her less clothing than he does shoes. So what are we doing? He gives her clothing only once a year, 50 zuz worth of clothing, and then he buys her shoes 3 times a year. For each yontiv, he has to buy your shoes. So it's very strange. And the Tana uses this, the Gemara uses this expression that the Tana was saying that she walks around without clothing on, but at least Baruch Hashem, she has shoes. It's very, very strange. Muvshad v'arum, Rashi says, Shein lo chalif was begadim. She'll be naked, so to say, that she doesn't have a change of clothing, but Baruch Hashem, she has shoes. So it doesn't make any sense. So you're right. Where it says, Amalei Abayi said, back to Rapapa, who asked him this question, he said, the Tana of this Braisa, B'mokom Horimkoi, lived in a very hilly region. And therefore, the pebbles and the rocks of this hilly region caused their shoes to break and wear out very quickly. And therefore, the Lo Sagya, it would be unacceptable for a husband to provide his wife with less than 3 pairs of shoes during the year because they would wear out so fast in this mountainous, hilly region. Below Tlosa, Zuge Misanoi. So therefore, he has to buy her shoes 3 times a year. So what the Chiddush of the Braisa is, the Agav Urche, and by the way, he's teaching us, Kamash Ulan, the Nesvinhu Nihalo B'moi. Go give it to her around the Yontif times. And in this way, Kiech Din Hevi Lo Simcha B'Gavayu. In addition to giving her the shoes that she needs, she'll also have Simchas Yontif. So you can accomplish this additional thing as well by giving the shoes specifically around the Yontif time. But not that you have to buy your shoes for every Yontif. In this hilly region where you're going to buy or need to give her shoes 3 times a year because they get worn out so fast, so then a smart aid says to give it to the wife around the Yontif, so she'll also have Simchas Yontif as well. Then it said that you have to give her in the Mishnah, V'chelem shel chamishim zuz. You have to go give her clothing that's worth chamishim zuz, and you buy the good clothing in the wintertime, and then she can wear out the worn, lighter stuff in the summertime. Amar Abayi says, chamishim zuze pshite. This is the regular, plain zuzim, and not the fancier zuzim that are worth 8 times as much. And how do we know this? The Gemara says, mimai, midiktani, because the end of the Mishnah said that this is only for a very poor girl. But this is the minimal standards, as we pointed out already from the Tosas written, and from our Mishnah, that you only have these minimal amounts for the Ani Shebi Yisrael. Avo b'mechubad, if a girl is a much higher socioeconomic level, then hakol l'fi chlodo, then he has to go provide her
based upon his standard of living and the standard of living that she had if she was on a higher level. Therefore, if you're telling me that this is the minimal standard, is the real 50 zuz, which is 8 times as much as the pshite that we originally just now suggested, so then ani chamishim zuz min ole. So really, would you expect a poor person to go get 50 of the real zuz and not 50 of the pshite zuz, the lower value zuz? So therefore, obviously, al shvami no chamishim zuzay pshite. We're talking here about the simple, plain zuz and not the more fancier zuz that was worth 8 times as much. Okay, then the Gemara says that we go to Mishnah. We said that you can't give her the new clothing in the summertime when it's too warm, and you can't give her the worn-out clothing in the wintertime when it's not warm enough. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Mosar Mizonos Lebaal, the extra food that is left over after the husband gives his wife food, that goes to the husband. Mosar Mizonos, the extra food goes back to him. So if he buys her a whole bunch of stuff and she doesn't use it, so he gets to return that to himself. Most are below, but the extra worn-out clothing, he doesn't take that back and sell it. That belongs to the wife, and she can do with it whatever she wants. How come? Where it says, most are below, Slisha, Lomala. Why do we leave the blows with her, but we don't leave the extra food with her? So Gemara says, very smart answer. Amar Rachva, Rachva says, again, it's interesting, Rachva was the first husband of Choma, Abai's subsequent wife. So Rachva tells us, Rachva from Pumbedisa tells us, she miskasa behen bimei nidasa, but she's going to need them to wear during her nida period of time. They would separate from their husbands and they would have separate clothing in order that kadesha lo tizgana abala. Her husband shouldn't see her wearing the nida clothing, and then that's what she wears during the time that she's with him. It's going to be in some way going to make her less desirable to him. Oh, that's the stuff that she wears while she's in nida. So therefore, she uses those blows to wear while she's in Ida, and therefore she can wear nice, newer clothing when she's with her husband. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Naktina, we have the custom, this is the Masorah that we have, Mut Mosar Belos Almana Liyorshav. If there are worn-out clothing from an Almana, those go to the Yorshav. They don't stay by the Almana. How come? So Gemara says, what's the difference between the Almana and the woman who's still married to her husband? Because Hossam, who, in the case where the husband is still there, as we just said, the lot is gani bepe. We want her not to be disgusting to her husband, that he should say, listen, I don't want you to be around you. You're wearing the same clothes that you have when you're nida. They didn't have the same standards and hygiene that we did, so mistama, they might have been not clean, etc. So therefore, in order that she shouldn't be looking poorly in the eyes of her husband, she shouldn't become repulsive to him. So in this situation, we give her the blows. So she can wear separate clothing when she's in Ida and nicer clothing when she's with her husband. However, when Nebuch, the husband, died, and we're dealing over here with the estate, so we don't really care in that situation. Hocha, tizgani, v'tizgani. We don't want her looking nice to her husband's children. They may not be her own children. That may be inappropriate. There could be chas v'shalom immorality going on. Therefore, so we want to keep them as far apart as possible. So therefore, give the blows back to the estate. And we don't care if they see her only wearing the same clothing when she's a nida and when she's not a nida, because we're not at all interested, and they should like the way that she looks. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, notzin lo mo'a kesev v'chulei, that the other needs of the woman, the other trachos that she has, the makeup needs, the perfume needs, etc. So the husband has to give her a mo'a kesev each week, and this is a certain additional entitlement that she has, and as well, she would eat with her husband every Friday night. So Gemara says, and we had this machlokas already previously, my ocheles, what does it mean that she eats with her husband every Friday night? So Rav Nachman says it means literally, Rav Nachman amar ocheles mamish. Yeah, she goes and has the Friday night meal with her husband, whereas Rav Ashi said this is a euphemism, Rav Ashi amar tashmish. This ochla, ocheles, is a lotion of tashmish. As Gemara now will say, tonight, we learned in our Mishnah, it says, ocheles imo leili Shabbos. Our Mishnah says that she eats with him on Friday night. So Bishlam Laman Yom Achila, according to the opinion of Rav Nachman, it says it means Ocheles Mamish, so we understand this very, very well. I knew Diktani Ocheles, because that's what she's doing. However, Laman Yom Tashmish, my Ocheles, so why use this lotion of Ocheles for Tashmish? So Gemara says, because this is Lishna Ma'ay, this is a euphemism, Tachsiv, as we find in Mishlei and the Gemara elsewhere, where it tells us, and Darshan is Pasuk Mishlei, where it says, Ochla, a woman eats, which is a reference over here to relations, umochasapia, then she wipes away her mouth, yomra, lo pal to yomra, I didn't do anything wrong. So she has relations, nebuch, immoral relations, adulterous relations, and then she wipes herself off and says, oh, I'm perfectly good, I didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, this loshon of ocheles is a loshon noki. It's a euphemism, it's a nice way of saying that she'll have relations with her husband. Gemara says, meisvei, this still doesn't make sense. The following problem: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ocheles B'Leili Shabbos this Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that not only is she entitled to eat with her husband on Friday night, but she should eat Shabbos lunch with her husband as well. Now that works out very, very well according to Rabbi Nachman's opinion. That ocheles means ocheles mamish. So Bishlam of the Man Yomer Rav Nachman, who says achila means achila, hainu diktani Shabbos. That's why she eats Friday night and also Shabbos lunch. The lashon of eating is meaning eating. Elamandi Yomer Tashmish, the one who says Tashmish, so Tashmish b'Shabbos Mika. So we could understand how you said it's a euphemism for Friday night to have relations, but during the day on Shabbos, how are you allowed to have relations? Bamer Rav Huna, Yisrael Kadosh, and Amy Shamish, and Mito Sam Bayom. That the typical approach of Klai Yisrael is that they don't have relations during the daytime when there's light, and that it could reveal possible blemishes or things that aren't so nice about a person that could make the other spouse repulsive towards them, and therefore, we don't have relations in the day during the light. So how can you say that, according to you, Rav Papa, that this means that ocheles means relations? We don't have relations during the day. So Gemara says, no, we do. Amar Rav, Rav already said, that if a person is desirous of having relations, so just make the room dark, and then it is permissible. So therefore, both of the opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Ashi fit in with the brisa that Rishon Gamliel was quoted in as saying that she eats with him on both Friday night and on Shabbos lunch. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, if the woman is a nursing woman, so then we don't make her work so much, and we also give her more food. So Darish Rabbi Ula Rabba, the great Rabbi Ula, Darshin, Apiskot Venesia, at the entrance way into the house of the Nasi. And he says as follows, for Pishamu Ein Adam Zon Ez Banavu V'Nosav Shem Ketanim, even though there is no actual obligation upon a father to go and support his children when they're young, nevertheless, Avol Zon Ketanik Tanim. He does have to support them when they're very, very young. And that age is what? Ad kama? Ad ben sheish. Up until the age of 6 years old. As we had already learned previously, so we can sort of force the father, if he's rich, to go and support his younger children. Otherwise, we just embarrass him into going to support them. Kidu Ravasi. And this is based upon Ravasi. The Yomar Ravasi. Kotem ben sheish yotze be'erev imo. That a child of 6 years and younger goes along with the mother's Erev. For Shabbos, you have to have each person have their own Shvisa. So children, when they reach a certain age, so they have to also have a Shvisa in a certain place. That would be their focal point, and for which they would be able to travel 2,000 amas in every direction from that place. But if they're very young, so they're dependent upon their mother still, so therefore, Ravasi said that the Kotin, who is under the age of 6 years old, follows the Erev of his mother. So even though he didn't make a separate Shvisa for the young child, they follow the Erev of the mother. Now, what do you see from here? That, in fact, up until the age of 6, the mother is responsible for the child, and since the mother has to be supported, and the child is going to be with the mother, so too, the father has to support the child up until the age of 6. This is the raya that Ravasi wants to give. How do you see this exactly? Mimai, Migdiktani, Hoysa, Meinika, Pochasalomi, Maisiodel, Umosifilo, Ai, Mizonosel. Our Mishnah, which said that if she was nursing, so then she is able to deduct some work that she would be required to do for her husband because she's busy nursing. And likewise, you have to give him more food. Now, my time, why do you have to give him more food? Lamishom, the boy, Lemecha, Bado, isn't because it's not only while she's nursing, it's because you have to feed the young children. And up until the age of 6, it's the father's responsibility. Oh, this is where Ravasi wants to bring the riot. Or says, who says? Maybe it's because she is considered sickly in this situation, and not because there's a child, she has to give him more food, because a woman who's nursing is considered somewhat sick in the sense that she needs more food. So Moses says, if that were the case, Im Kain, if that were the reasoning, so then he should have said so. Listen, Im Hay Sechola. If she was sick, then she gets more food. Why did it specifically give us the case of Menika? My Im Hay Semenika must be that it's not because she's sick, but it's because of the child. Or says still, Vidumo, Hokamashul, and maybe the chiddush of this Mishnah is the Stam Meinikos Holosdinu. It's teaching us this din that a Stam Meinika, a typical average woman who's nursing, does have the halachic status of being sick. We know, for example, by Tanaisim, that a woman who's nursing is often not expected to fast. So, too, this is what this Mishnah is teaching us, that a Meinika, a woman who's nursing, has the halachic status of being sickly. And that's why she's entitled to more food and doesn't do the Maisi Adel, but it's nothing to do with the children, like Ravasi wanted to suggest. And therefore, you can't bring me this Raya from Ravasi. Finally, the parak concludes with the following: Itmar Amrishu ben Levi Mosifin lo Yayin. We also give the nursing woman additional wine. Why? Bishay Yayin. They felt that wine was yofa lecholav. It somehow helped her to go and produce milk. Now, I'm not sure that this is medically something that we would recommend today. But in any event, in the times of the Gemara, this was considered something Rishu ben Levi says would be beneficial to the woman. So we would supply her with wine as well in order to help improve her ability to lactate, her ability to go and produce milk for the baby. With this, we conclude the
beautiful fifth parak of Ksubos. Avopi, Hadron Lecha parak. Avopi, Hadron Lecha. Avopi, Hadron Lecha. Avopi. Yitzchak Shem, tomorrow we'll start the next parak, the sixth parak, Metziyas Isha. With this, we conclude today's share.